So the next 2 weeks, we're going to grow in prayer. We're going to grow in prayer. The title of this sermon is Prayer University, because today we're going to study a lecture on prayer by the greatest professor of prayer who ever lived, and that's Jesus Christ himself. And so if you have a Bible, you can turn to Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 through 15. Now, I found a few funny pictures about prayer that I thought were interesting this week, and if the PowerPoint's going to work, you can go to that first picture, the first slide there. There you go. See if you can read that. It says, prayer, how to do nothing and still think that you're helping. That's the way a lot of people think about prayer. A lot of people view prayer, this is pointless. Why are we praying? This doesn't make any difference. You're just wasting your time, and it makes you feel like you're doing something when you're actually not doing anything. Here's the next one. Can you read that? It says, prayer. I asked God for a bike, but I knew God doesn't work that way, so I stole a bike and asked for forgiveness. There's a lot of people who pray, but they still don't believe that prayer makes any difference. They just pray out of habit or because they think they're supposed to. They're not sure about the purpose of prayer, but they do pray. You can go to the next one. This one I thought was interesting. It says, please, God, if you can't make me thin, make my friends fat. So, a lot of people pray. They do pray, but they have no idea what to pray for. Their prayer requests are a little bit off base and unbiblical. And so God's not answering those requests. And then this last one, I wanted to offer you solid proof this morning that prayer really does work. Do you see what's going on here? He's praying, and the weight's just lifted off the ground. Let me tell you something. Prayer is powerful. Amen. There's proof. We could just go home now. So my goal today is to help you excel at prayer and help you get better at prayer, to develop a stronger prayer life. Perhaps the single most important key to your spiritual progress is your prayer life. Probably the single most important key to you growing stronger as a Christian and being more fruitful and more useful and enjoying all the resources that we have in the Holy Spirit has to do with you excelling at prayer, getting better at prayer, understanding prayer, and praying a lot. And I know that, and I also know this, that it's probably true that much of the heartache and the suffering that you are experiencing in your life and the anxiety and the stress has to do with a non-existent or a weak prayer life. I don't know where you are individually, but I know it's the case for a lot of Christians even. They know about prayer. They've heard about prayer. They know they're supposed to pray, but they don't pray much. They don't have really a developed prayer life, and so they're experiencing a lot of heartache and suffering that they shouldn't experience. They don't have to experience. It reminds me of the old hymn that I sung growing up. It goes like this: oh, what peace we often forfeit, oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And so, as your pastor, I want you to excel in prayer. I would like for you, and this is important for you, each person in our church needs to develop as a prayer. You need to be a prayer warrior. You need to be somebody who's strong at prayer. And so, here are six ways, or six things that looks like. These are six ways to excel in prayer. This is not how to. This is just what it looks like when you are becoming a developed prayer. All right, number one, six ways to excel in prayer. I want you to pray daily prayers. To excel in prayer means that you pray daily prayers. And what that means is a daily quiet time. We're going to talk more about that in just a minute. But that you have a date with God on a daily basis, an appointment with God on a daily basis, whether it's for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes, that you're getting alone with your Heavenly Father for a date to spend extended quality time in prayer. Even if you're not having it every day, man, 2 days a week, 3 days a week, 4 days a week, where you're having a date with God, an appointment with God, where you're getting alone with Him and praying, would do so much for your prayer life and for your life in general. Number two, I want you to pray unceasing prayers. To excel in prayer means that you're praying unceasing prayers. I want you to learn how to do life with God 24/7. I want you to learn what it means to pray without ceasing, to practice the presence of God, to be constantly aware of God's presence in your life, that He's always with you. We know that God's everywhere, but we don't always practice His presence. We're not always conscious that He's with us. We're not always thinking about that. But I want you to learn how to include God in all of your conversations, all of your actions, and all of your reactions, and all of your comings and goings. To always be with God and carry on an ongoing conversation all day long. One of the ways that you can do that, we did this in a previous sermon series, is that you can buy a cheap little digital watch, not one with the hands that go around, but a digital watch, and you can set the chime to go off. The chime will go off. It'll beep every hour on the hour. And you can use that as a reminder to reconnect with God and stay connected with God all day long. After you've done that for about 30 days, you're in the habit now of staying connected to your Heavenly Father. Number three, to excel in prayer, I want you to pray corporate prayers. Corporate has to do with us as a group. And what that means is I want you to develop the skill and the ability and the comfort to be able to pray in a group out loud. Now, a lot of people, when you first become a Christian, you're not used to that. You're not cool with that. You're not comfortable with that. You're not cool with praying aloud in front of other people. Prayer is a very private thing, if it's anything to you at all. But if somebody says, hey, would you pray for us in a group setting? You're thinking, no, I would not. And that's okay. Some people are more shy than others. But it's very important that you learn how to pray in a group setting, that if we're sitting around in home group or you're sitting around with another Christian, that you can pray out loud with another person, that you can pray with your spouse, that you can pray out loud with your children and with your parents, and that you can pray out loud with your church family. I want you to get to where you can pray in a group setting with others. That's very important. Number four, I want you to get to where you can pray evangelistic prayers, to where you are praying evangelistic prayers, that you're praying consistently for your friends who are far from God, by name. Like every day or every week on a certain day, you're lifting up your family and friends who are far from God, who don't know Christ, don't have a saving relationship with Jesus. You're lifting them up to God by name and saying, God, please save so-and-so and so-and-so. If we're going to be an evangelistic church, and if you're going to be an evangelistic individual, an effective witness for Christ, you've got to be in the habit of praying for your friends and family by name consistently for their salvation. Number five, to excel in prayer, I want you to learn how to pray simple prayers. This is really where you should start. But if prayer is new to you, especially if you've come to Christ as an adult and you've got so much bad information in your mind about prayer that you don't know what prayer is. When I say pray simple prayers, I mean that I want you to pray without to just talk to your heavenly daddy, without worrying about saying the right words, and without worrying about praying the right requests and making sure my requests are right, and without making sure that I'm saying the right words. I want you to learn how to pray without worrying about other people thinking what they're going to think about what you say, that you'll just come to your Heavenly Father and not worry about trying to be super spiritual and trying to talk in King James Version. Heavenly Father, we thank thee this morning for thy good graces. And God doesn't speak in King James Old English. Just come to your Heavenly Father and just say, God, here's what I need. I'm scared. I'm afraid. I'm worried. I need a new job. I need a raise. I could really use that promotion. I'm having trouble with my kids. I'm having trouble in my marriage. This is pray simple prayers. Whatever's on your heart, just talk to your Heavenly Father about it. I want you to learn how to pray simple prayers. And finally, to excel in prayer, I want you to learn how to pray intercessory prayers, to be an intercessor. To pray prayers of intercession means to pray for others, to pray on behalf of others. To intercede is to go in between. It's to go to God on behalf of somebody else. And wouldn't it be awesome if we had a whole church full of intercessors, full of people who are prayer warriors and who are going to God on behalf of each other? That I would love to be confident enough to come to you and say, hey, I'm struggling with this, and to know that you're going to be spending time with your Heavenly Father this next week, and that you're going to lift me up to God, that you're going to be praying for my needs. It'd be wonderful if we have a whole church of people that are praying for their marriages, and you're praying for your children, and you're praying for your pastor, and you're praying for your church family, and you're praying for your home group members, and you're praying for your coworkers, and you're praying for other people. It's a wonderful ministry. All right, so let's talk about how now. How to excel in prayer. That's what it looks like. How do you do it? Jesus is going to give us quite a bit of instruction in verses 6, 7 through 15. We're just going to look at verses 7 and 8 today. Now, next week, we're going to go in depth on the Lord's Prayer. You know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We're going to look at that prayer next week and really just break it down and look at it phrase by phrase and really understand it. But this week, this is the This is the prequel. These are the first two verses right before the Lord's Prayer. Jesus says in verse 7, he says, "When you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him." So I'm going to help you understand this passage and think through this passage by breaking it down into four keys. Four keys to an effective prayer life. Prayer is meant to have an effect. It's meant to do something, to accomplish something. We don't pray because we're bored. Like on your day off and you're thinking, "Man, I'm bored. Well, let me just go pray, because that's just so exciting and fun." We don't pray because it's like really, really fun and entertaining. Prayer is hard work. It takes a lot of faith. Sometimes it feels like you're talking to yourself. Sometimes it feels like your prayer requests are hitting the ceiling and just coming down to the floor. You can just fall asleep so easily when you pray and close your eyes and just nod off. Prayer is a difficult discipline to develop. Why do we pray? Because it's supposed to accomplish something. Prayer is supposed to change things. It's supposed to have an effect. So how can we pray in a way that is effective? Number one, here's four keys. Number one, schedule a specific, consistent time to pray. If you want to exercise effectively in a way that gets results, what do you have to do? You've got to schedule a specific, consistent time to what? To exercise. Prayer helps with your diet and exercise too. That's good. But if you want to get in good shape, you've got to schedule a consistent, specific time to exercise. For Lydia and I, we exercise 5 days a week together. And we know exactly what time we're going to be doing it every day. And that's why we don't miss. We never miss. We know it's scheduled into our appointment book. We don't let anything else interfere with that. It's an appointment every day to exercise in our home gym. It's the same thing with your prayer life. Notice that Jesus says this. He starts out by saying in verse 6, he says, "When you pray." He says, "When you pray." He doesn't say, "If you pray." He says, "When you pray." Jesus is assuming that you're going to pray, that you're going to be a prayer, that you're going to have a prayer life, that prayer is going to be a big part of your life. Prayer is commanded many times in the Bible. Like, prayer is not an option. It's not something like, well, you know, if you're looking for a way to grow, think about prayer. No. As a Christian, prayer is breathing. Okay, you can't live without oxygen. As a Christian, you can't live without prayer. You've got to be a prayer. Look at it, Luke 18:1. It says, "One day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up." Always pray and never give up. We're not going to look at that story today. That's a whole other sermon for another time. But you can read the story in Luke chapter 18. Real neat story. But Jesus said, always pray. So Jesus says, when you pray, he assumes you're going to be a prayer. So here's my question for you. When do you pray? Jesus says, when you pray. So when do you pray? When do you pray? Well, you say, well, I pray, you know, all day long, all the time. You know, just as I'm going about my day, I pray. I'm always in touch with God. You know, just like you were saying, Pastor, I'm practicing the presence of God. That's what I do. Well, that's the wonderful thing about prayer and the wonderful thing about God is that God is omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. And that God is omniscient. He knows everything. And that's the wonderful thing about our Heavenly Father. So you can pray anywheres and anytime. You can pray in the shower or in the shop. You can pray in bed or in the car, just not with your eyes closed. And you can pray while you work or during a break. You can pray anywheres and anytime. But notice this next phrase. I'm going to read it just to make sure I get it right. You can pray anywhere and anytime, but if you don't make plans to pray in a specific place and at a specific time, you probably won't pray as much as you should. You can pray anywhere and anytime, but if you don't make plans to pray in a specific place and at a specific time, you probably won't pray as much as you should. I actually stole that sentence from a former president of the United States, and he wasn't talking about prayer. And I can't even tell you what president said it. But it was a president, and this will tell you how long ago, it was a president that actually valued church attendance. And he said, listen, you can worship God anywhere and anytime. But if you don't choose a place and a time, you're probably not going to worship God at any place or at any time. Same thing with prayer. You need to schedule a specific time and a place. You need to make a date. You need to make an appointment. For me, it's so many days a week. For you, it might be a different number of days a week. But you need to schedule it and you need to pencil it in. This is what I call a daily quiet time. What is it? Simply put, a daily quiet time is a daily time of personal fellowship with God through the Word and prayer. More specifically, it's a period of time you set aside to be alone with God, usually in the morning. Doesn't have to be, but usually in the morning, to talk to Him and listen to Him as you prepare to be used by Him that day. So important that you're spending that alone, personal, quality, quiet time with God, with your Heavenly Father. That's how you can make sure that you're praying as much as you know you should be praying. Jesus did this. Jesus, of course, He prayed as He went. But He didn't just pray as He went. He also took time to get alone. Mark 1:35 says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where He prayed." So, I spend the first 40 minutes of my day in prayer and Bible reading and journaling. And so for me, since I have to be at work, my other job, I have to be at work at 5 in the morning. So that means I wake up at 3:30 in the morning, Monday through Friday. On Sunday, I wake up late at 4. And so I at 3:30 is when I wake up. I give myself 15 minutes to come to my senses. So I have a cup of coffee, and I read the news, Drudge Report, catch up on all that's going on in the world. And then at 3:45 is when I begin my quiet time officially. And from 3:45 to 4:25, I'm in the Word, and I'm praying, and I'm journaling on my computer. And then at 4:25, it's time to get my hair wet and fix it for work. And so I know exactly when I'm waking up, exactly when I'm in the Word, exactly when I'm having a daily quiet time. And that's how you can make sure that you're spending as much time with the Lord as you need to. You've got to pencil it in. And the reason why mornings are good is because usually nobody's competing for your time that early in the morning. People are like, "You can do whatever you want at that time because I'm still sleeping." So the morning can be a great time to do that. For Lydia, though, Lydia has found that the morning doesn't work for her. I hope you don't mind me sharing this. Lydia has her quiet time in the middle of the day when the kids are taking a nap. She has found that's the best time for her, that what's best for her is she get enough, as much sleep as possible through the middle of the night. And then later on during the middle of the day, that's a good time for her. So she spends 30 minutes to an hour with the Lord during nap time. So it doesn't matter what time of day, it doesn't matter how often you do it, doesn't it? For me, it's 6 days a week. I have a quiet time on Saturday, which is my Sabbath, my day off. I don't have any schedule. There's no appointments. There's nothing. I sleep in, so it's sometimes I have a quiet time. Sometimes I don't. But Sunday through Friday, I have a quiet time. For you, even if it's just one day a week, that would be so much better than none days a week. So again, while you could pray anywhere and anytime, if you don't make plans to pray in a specific place and at a specific time, you probably won't pray as much as you should. Does that make sense? Number two. Second key to an effective prayer life is take your requests directly to God. Take your requests directly to God. Again, verse 6, Jesus says, "When you pray." When you pray. Underline, circle, box in that word, "you." When you pray. Jesus wants you to pray. God wants to hear from you. It's wonderful to pray for each other, and we should be praying for each other. Again, that's called the ministry of intercession, intercessory prayer. Praying for each other, interceding on one another's behalf. That's a good thing, and I love to pray for you. In fact, I really encourage you. I really want to know what's going on in my church family's life. And so take advantage of those connection cards and say, "We're sick, we're traveling and need traveling mercies, having marriage trouble, whatever." Put it on that connection card so your pastor can lift you up, because that's what I pray for, as I said, on Monday mornings in my quiet time. Focus of my prayer is your connection cards. So if you don't turn in any connection cards, then I'll just find something else to pray about. But I'm ready to pray for you, and it's wonderful to pray for each other. But sometimes I wonder, I pray for you, but are you praying for you? Are you praying for you? I'm praying for your sickness, when you ask. And I'm wondering, though, are you praying for your sickness? You ask me to pray for your finances. And sometimes I have to ask, though, are you praying for your finances? You asked me to pray for your marriage, but are you praying for your marriage? And again, this goes back to scheduling that daily quiet time, to scheduling that appointment, because I know when I'm going to be praying for you. Do you know when you're going to be praying for you? Or are you just hoping you'll get around to it? You're hoping you'll find time. When are you praying for you? You need to be praying for you. God wants you to pray for you, not just for your pastor to pray for you. God wants to hear from you. God doesn't just want to hear about you from your pastor. God wants to hear from you. He loves you. Now, I'm going to let you in on a few secrets this morning. And I want y'all to keep this in-house on the down low, because what I'm going to let you know could really cause people to respect me a lot less. Are you ready? Your prayers are just as powerful as the pastor's. You have just as much access to God as the pastor. God loves you just as much as the pastor, probably more. Nobody, including the pastor, will ever be able to pray for you as well as you can pray for you, because nobody knows you and knows your heart and your requests and your concerns as well as you do. Nobody cares about you as much as you do. And so nobody's going to pray with as much earnestness and consistency and persistence as you will. You need to go to God directly. In Christ, the Bible says that we all have equal access to our Heavenly Father. Once Christ died on the cross, there was no longer need for the high priest of Jerusalem, because Jesus is now our high priest. As I said, as Christians, we're to pray for one another. That's wonderful. And there is power in getting others to partner with you in prayer for a certain issue, a certain problem. There is power in numbers. But you don't need to go through me or through anybody else. You go straight to your Heavenly Father. Number three, take your request directly to God. And number three, understand the meaning of prayer. Understand the meaning of prayer. Jesus said in verse 6, when you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Why do these people babble on and on, repeating their prayers over and over again? It's because they have no idea what prayer is. They have no idea the meaning of prayer. Prayer is communion with God. I'm not talking about the Lord's Supper. When I say communion, I'm talking about communing with your Heavenly Father. It's conversing with God. It's simply talking with your Heavenly Father. That's all prayer is. It's a conversation with God Almighty. Prayer is just a conversation with God. Greg Laurie, he says, prayer is hearing from and communicating with God. And so that's why Jesus says, don't babble on and on, chanting and repeating certain prayers like magical spells and incantations or charms. Why? Because that's not conversation. That's not talking. That's just you chanting stuff at God. Now, as we get into the Lord's Prayer next week, I want you to remember that. A lot of people misuse the Lord's Prayer. Right before the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says, don't repeat prayers over and over again, chanting and repeating prayers like magical spells and incantations. But what do a lot of people do with the Lord's Prayer? They chant it and repeat it over and over and over and over again as if there's special power in those specific words, and as if the number of times that you say that prayer increases its power. Some of you don't remember, a few years ago, there's a book came out called The Prayer of Jabez. And it's about this obscure story in the Bible in which this man named Jabez prayed this short prayer. And so this one guy who wrote the book, he thought, that's a cool prayer. So he started praying that specific prayer, those specific words, and amazing stuff started happening in his life. I mean, just like, wow. So he said, that's a cool prayer. So he wrote the book and told all these amazing stories about all these amazing things that happened because of that prayer. And so it was a movement that you would not believe. I mean, that was the best-selling book for about 5-10 years, Christian book, The Prayer of Jabez. And you've got people who are putting it on their walls and in their cars, and people, it was on t-shirts, it was on journals, it was printed on Bible covers. People just thought, just having the prayer somewhere near me made me more blessed. You're missing the point of prayer. What is prayer? It's conversing with God. It's not saying special formulas and special chants. Another pastor said, prayer is a relationship between father and child. The value is that it keeps us in touch with God. Chip Ingram said, prayer is keeping company with God. John Ortberg, He wrote, in addition to all the other work that gets done through prayer, perhaps the greatest work of all is the knitting of the human heart together with the heart of God. So imagine if my son Andrew, where's Andrew? So imagine if my son Andrew, he talked to me like this. He says, Dad, I want a new bike. I want a new bike to ride. Dad, I want a new bike. I want a new bike to ride. Dad, I want a new bike. I want a new bike to ride. Dad, I want a new bike. I want a new bike to ride. Dad, I want a new bike. I want a new bike to ride. I'd say, Andrew, calm down, slow down, be quiet. So you want a new bike? Can we talk about it? What kind of bike do you want? Why do you want a new bike? Maybe it's not right for you to get a new bike. Maybe I just bought you a new bike. Maybe it's not time for me to get you a new one, so let me talk to you and tell you why not, and I'll give you peace about it. Let's talk. Stop all the chanting and stuff. Let's just have a conversation. Or imagine if my daughter came to me, and she says, Dad, you are cool, you are handsome, you are good. Dad, you are cool, you are handsome, you are good. Dad, you are cool, you are handsome, you are good. Dad, you are cool, you are handsome, you are good. And I say, stop, stop, stop. Listen, I love the compliments. I love them. Everybody loves to be praised. But listen, what's with all the chanting? And she says, well, there's a box of toys on the top of my closet. And it's too high for me to reach. And I need some help with it. So I'm like, why didn't you just ask me to help you with the box of toys from the top of the closet? Isn't that the way a lot of people treat prayer? They know somebody who gets cancer. So they says, everybody start praying the Hail Mary. And just do it over and over again. If we can get many, many people to pray this specific prayer. And God's like, would somebody please talk to me like a person? Let's have a conversation here. I mean, God loves to be praised and we should praise him. But let's talk. All this chanting and stuff, it's not prayer. It's called superstition. It's not real. It's called voodoo. So, stop repeating certain phrases and words like magical spells, and remember that prayer is a conversation. It's a conversation. And this doesn't mean that you shouldn't pray for the same thing over and over again. This doesn't mean that you shouldn't be persistent in your prayers over a course of time. For example, the Bible says that Jesus prayed 3 times that he might avoid the suffering of the cross. It says that Paul prayed 3 times for God to remove the thorn in his flesh. And that doesn't mean that Paul knelt down and he said, God, please remove this thorn. God, please remove this thorn. God, please remove this thorn. What that means is that for a season of time, for maybe 6 months, Paul prayed, Lord, please remove this thorn in my flesh. And then he stopped praying for a while. God didn't answer his prayer. So he came back. And then for about six more months, he's praying again. God, this is his main request. For 6 months, he's praying, God, take this thorn away. Still nothing. Maybe a year or two passes. Then he decides, you know what? I'm going out praying again. And so for about 6 months again, he's praying, God, please take this thorn away. 3 times he prayed over the course of a long period of time. And every time the Lord said, what? He said, no. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. That's right. And so the Bible speaks about the power of persistent prayer. That means if you've got a burden, let's say you need a new job. So you pray today and say, Lord, please give me a new job today. Tomorrow, you still don't have a new job. You still think that that's what the Lord wants you to pray for. Guess what you pray for again? Say, Lord, I still need a new job. Lord, please talk to him about it. The next day, keep talking to him about it until he gives you a new job or until he changes your heart and says it's time to retire. And you might like that. All right? And so there's nothing wrong with persistence in prayer. Now, here's some more definitions of prayer. The first catechism, written for children, it says prayer is asking God for the things he has promised in the Bible and giving thanks for what he has given. I like this definition from the New City Catechism. Prayer is pouring out our hearts to God in praise, petition, confession of sin, and thanksgiving. Prayer is pouring out our hearts to God in praise, petition, confession of sin, and thanksgiving. So that definition includes the 4 primary elements of prayer, the 4 primary elements of balanced prayer. I call them the 4 legs of balanced prayer. Your prayer life needs to be balanced. When my children and I, if all they ever did was ask for things, Dad, gimme, 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 I need, I need, I need, and that was all of our conversation, and that would not be a healthy, deep relationship. All right? Now, God loves when you ask him for stuff, but there's a lot more to conversation. There's a lot more to a relationship than gimme, gimme, gimme. So one of the ways that you can develop your relationship with the Lord is by making sure that your prayer life is balanced. And a lot of people throughout the years have used the acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S, to help them balance their prayer lives, their conversation with God. A stands for adoration, and you don't have to worry about remembering this. I'm going to give you something before you leave today to help you remember. But A stands for adoration, C, confession, T, thanksgiving, and S, supplication. Adoration is when you begin by praising God, telling God how awesome He is and why you love Him, and just praise the Lord. And then confession, name your sins specifically and tell God you're sorry. Repent. And then T stands for thanksgiving. Thank God. Recognize before God all the wonderful things that He's done for you. Well, that'll keep you positive every day, no matter what's going on in your life. And then finally, supplication means you ask God to supply your needs and the needs of others. That's when you pray for what you need or pray for others. God, I need this. God, give me this. God, she needs that. Please help her with that. All right, number four, finally, the fourth key to an effective prayer life is know why you pray. Know why you pray. Verse 8, it says, Jesus says, don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask Him. Have you ever thought about that? Why pray if God already knows what you need? And He wants to meet your needs, so what's the point of prayer? Well, let me just put it this way. For some reason, God has decided to work through the prayers of His people. And He's decided to withhold His hand where there is a lack of prayer. James 4:2, you've heard me quote it often, you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. Kevin DeYoung, here's a quote that I wanted to read because it helps to explain this. He writes, we also pray because God has ordained means to accomplish His ends. Sure, God could accomplish His purposes without prayer, but when we pray, we're reminded of our dependence on God. If we ask not, we will have not. If we rely on ourselves, God will leave us to ourselves. God doesn't need prayer, but He uses prayer just like He uses other means. Listen to this. He uses rain to grow the crops, sun to warm the earth, food to strengthen the body. So why can't God use prayer to do His sovereign work? God uses means to accomplish many of His different ends. He's chosen prayer as one of His means. If you want God to move in your life, you need to work through prayer. Charles Wesley, God does nothing but an answer to prayer. Charles Spurgeon, when I don't pray, coincidences don't happen. When I pray, coincidences happen. All right? If you want God to move in your life, you got to pray. That's just the way God has chosen to do it. By the way, it's remarkable that God has decided to give us so much value and dignity and importance by working through and only through our prayers. Imagine that. We can have a hand in diverting disaster. God has chosen to give you so much value and dignity as a Christian. He says, when you pray, I'm going to move. When you don't pray, I'm going to stand back. And also, let me give you one more reason why God has set things up this way to where He only works through prayer. It's because God has created you for a love relationship with Him, and He loves you and He wants you. Oh, He desires you to be close. And so God has ordained it so that you have to go to Him to get your needs met. So God has set up a system to get you to continually to go to Him regularly. And therefore, He's like, well, I'm going to meet your needs, but you're going to give me you. You have to come to me, so I'm going to get to develop you and to develop our relationship. Imagine if your child graduates from high school, decides to move away to go to college, and they're just going to stay in town and go to UL, but they don't want to live at home anymore. They want to feel grown up. And so they go and they live on campus or get an apartment, but they're still living on your dime. And so you say, they still are dependent upon this monthly check from you. And you say, okay, but listen, I'm not going to mail it to you. I'm not going to wire you the money. I'm not just going to put the money in your account. Every month, you have to come home to get it. Why have you chosen to do that? It's because you know at their age, they're going to get so self-consumed with all their little stuff that if you don't give them an important reason to come home, they're not going to come home. And you want to maintain a relationship with them through those crucial college years. You want to maintain influence. So you've said, you got to come home at least once a month to pick up your check. It's the same way with your Heavenly Father. And when I first started praying, the only reason I went to God is because I knew if I wanted my needs to be met, I have to go to Him in prayer. But after a while, after you continue developing that relationship, eventually prayer became very enjoyable to me. Now I just love being with my Heavenly Father. I just love spending time in His presence, just talking to Him about everything that's going on in my life. It's a wonderful, enjoyable thing. But at first, it just starts out, well, I got to go home because I got to get my check. All right? So that's where we're going to stop today. Next week, we're going to go through the Lord's Prayer. Here's how I want to close. I want to let you in on a little insight that has made a big difference for my prayer life. A little insight that has made perhaps the biggest difference in my prayer life. And that's typing out my prayers word for word. I say typing because my journal, my prayer journal, is on my computer. I don't have good penmanship or posture, and so I get cramps in my hand real easy when I write. But I learned this from Pastor Bill Hybels. He wrote a book about prayer, and he learned it from somebody else. Whenever you pray, you might have a hard time staying focused. You might have a hard time staying awake. You might have a hard time remembering what you said. And so one of the ways that you can become more focused and more consistent in your prayer time is actually write out your words, prayers word for word. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. I need this. I need that. Actually, writing out your prayers word for word. It's very, very effective. And so I begin with adoration. First thing I do is I journal. Just write about yesterday. Write about what's going on in my life a little bit, a paragraph or so. Then I start praying. Every day, y'all, I write the word adoration. I go through Acts. I write adoration, and I start praising God. Then I write the word confession, and I start confessing my sins. Then I write the word thanksgiving, and I thank God, and then I write the word supplication, and I pray for my needs, or for your needs, or for the needs of my family. Every single day, that's what I do in my quiet time. So here's your homework for this week. I'm going to pass around this piece of paper. This is a worksheet for you. It's called Acts, the Four Legs of Balanced Prayer. And what I want you to do is one day this week, let's pass this around quickly, we're pretty much out of time. One day this week, take one, pass it around. One day this week, I want to challenge you to have a quiet time. You may not be in the habit of having a daily quiet time. Just one day this week, schedule an appointment with God and use this worksheet. And I want you to go through the four legs of balanced prayer, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And I want to challenge you to write out your prayers word for word and give it a try. And see if it doesn't make a difference in your prayer life. See if you don't enjoy it. And there's a lot of people that pray that way. I do myself. And it may really benefit you. Okay? So, that's your homework. Just one day this week, do the four legs of balanced prayer and write out your prayers word for word. If you don't like to write, you can just type this up on your computer and do it like I do by typing. All right. Let's pray together. Thank you for your attention this morning. Dear Lord, I pray, God, that you would help us to excel in prayer. Help us to be a praying church. Help us to grow as a bunch of prayers, Lord. We're just a bunch of people that know our Heavenly Father, and we spend time with Him. We're intimate with Him. We're praying for our needs and the needs of our community, of our church family, of our children, of our spouse, of our coworkers. We are praying people, Lord. That's who we want to be. That's who you want us to be. I pray, Lord, that you'll make us a praying church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.